This is a HeadGum Podcast. Hey everybody, it's Emily here to talk to you about Adam and Eve. Spring is in the air, but is it in your step? Is it in your bed? If you're interested in better sex starting now, go to adamandeve.com. They've got toys, lingerie, accessories, everything you need to level up your pleasure checks. And right now, Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item. Plus, free shipping, which includes rush processing. That's discreet shipping, plus 100% free shipping with rush processing on your entire order. Doesn't matter how much you spend or what you buy, all will be packaged and sent discreetly, free and fast. So just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy or anything you desire. Just enter offer code PAWPAW at checkout. That's PAWPAW, P-A-W-P-A-W at adamandeve.com. This is an exclusive offer specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code PAWPAW to get your discount, 100% free shipping, and get it fast with rush processing. Code P-A-W-P-A-W. Goodbye, sweeties.
Welcome to the campaign after the campaign. This is not another D&D podcast.
Welcome back to Bohumia, everyone.
Bohumia.
I'm your Dungeon Master, Brian Murphy, joined by Jake Hurwitz.
Hard One Surefoot.
Emily Axford.
Moonshine Sabin. Spell poor. Health poor, but rich in cantrips. They're so weak they can't even be called spells.
And Caldwell Tanner.
Beverly Togold the Fifth. Beverlyn Foreverlyn.
Perfect. Guys, we got some announcements here. First off, very exciting. We've got our first live show.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, we're coming to Seattle, guys. Thursday, September 13th at the Triple Door in Seattle. You guys can go to headgum.com/live.
That's Washington, everybody.
That's Seattle, Washington.
Not Seattle, Tucson. Mm-hmm.
There is like a Portland, Maine and stuff, so it's worth mentioning, you know, just in case there's another Seattle. I don't think there is.
There's only one, and that's where we're going. We're performing in the Space Needle, baby.
Tickets go on sale this Friday morning at 10 a.m.?
Yeah, so if you're listening to this on Thursday, like the true fan
that
you are.
Yeah, the day that it came out.
It's the tickets are on sale tomorrow, Friday.
And they're going to sell out quick, baby. I know it.
Because my cousin and my aunt live in Seattle, and you better believe
that's two tickets.
Is that true? I have some cousins in Seattle.
Huh. Yo, let's make it a family affair.
Hey, it's gonna be.
We'll get them the early ticket link.
We're gonna do this. Seattle's the new Crick. There's a lot of cousins.
Look at my nephew cousin.
Seattle. Oh, I know a lot of people in Seattle.
Guys, more fun stuff coming up this Sunday, June 24th at 6 p.m. Pacific time. We're going to do another live stream for our Patreon subscribers. It's the Apology Breakfast live stream.
Yum, yum, yum.
And then the following day, Monday the 25th, we'll be releasing our Mixed Bag of Holding, which is going to be a deity deep dive. We're going to learn more about the gods of Bohumia.
Going deep on some D.
So those are for our Patreon subscribers, guys. Go to patreon.com/nadpod to check that out. But let's get into the episode.
One final thing. The album will come out next week on SoundCloud, and then however long it will take to upload to Spotify.
And there's going to be a pop punk strike true on this album.
Oh, yeah.
There is.
God.
Anyway, let's get into our episode. Let's do a recap.
Woo.
Shall we?
Please.
Last week, you guys stood with the Green Knights in a tense stare down with the Chosen on the castle steps. Barrett Brisden, the new captain of the Chosen, offered you one last chance to join them, and when you refused, he sent out a message to his troops to begin the purge. Immediately, you saw airships heading towards Upper Galateron and knew that the citizens of the city were in danger. You all retreated to the church district, where Bev's dad and the Green Knights could set up their defenses and make a stand against the Chosen. Meanwhile, you guys and the White Knights ran down to Upper Galateron to stop the Chosen, who were being dropped off by the airships. And everything went smoothly from there.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. Then we all got up to full health. I got my spells back finally for the first time in five episodes.
Yep, everything worked out. Psych, just kidding. Hard One and Old Cobb jumped directly into the first enemy airship they saw.
Apologies. I'm sorry.
No, I thought it was cool.
Thank you.
It was cool and
I
stupid as hell.
It was vintage Hard One.
I love it.
Watch this.
I love all your big moves.
Yeah.
So Hardwana and Olcob jump directly into the first enemy airship they saw, while Bev and Moonshine ran to Bev's house to save his mom. After saving Bev's neighbor, Moonshine and Bev made it to Bev's house as a bunch of Chosen were trying to break down the door and climb in the window. With the help of Egwene, Erlen's cool older sister, you guys defeated the Chosen and saved Bev's family for now.
So cool.
Bev and Erlen then had their first kiss.
Woo!
Bev Erlen, y'all.
Yummy.
Bev Erlen for Everlen.
We shipped them, and you guys settled into the Togold residence to catch your breath. Meanwhile, Hardwana ran directly past 5 archers and 10 guards to attack the captain, who was wearing full plate armor.
Knock it off,
This drew the ire of the entire ship, and after an incredibly close fight that saw Olcob and Hardwana both knocked out, a single White Knight was the only one still standing,
Matthias,
and the battle was won.
Of House Crit.
Matthew, a.k.a. Matthias, a.k.a. Matty Crits.
Matty Big Crits.
Who scored a critical hit against the captain, was able to defeat him. Then out of character, Olcob had 2 death saving throws, so Jake rolled his last one for him in front of the table and rolled a dang nat 20.
Whew. Hell yeah.
What a rush. Still it reeling was, from that one.
A much needed nat 20.
It was of all the nat 20s that were rolled that episode, of which
there were a lot.
Many.
There were like 7.
I am terrified.
Mostly from Beverly. Beverly was doing the heavy lifting with the nat 20s, but that was the most thrilling one.
It carried me through the weekend. I went out hard on Saturday, and people were like, Jake, what's the occasion? I was like, old Cobb's alive.
Kalukalay.
Anyway, Jake's engagement is off now.
Of course.
So we ended the episode with Hardwana waking up in a bunk below deck and saw Olcob sitting next to him, still kicking.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, guys, before we get started, I'm actually going to introduce a new homebrew mechanic.
Yes!
Maybe.
Yummy!
Because between the amulet, the potions, and NPC intervention, I've basically allowed a ton of ways for you guys to get your HP back without resting to kind of keep the action up on the pod. But HP is way more important to the melee characters, and I gave you guys the cleave mechanic, so I'm going to introduce something for our spellcaster, who's been a little spell-starved for about 4 episodes now.
Are you trying to say that people don't want to just hear me do chill touch for another entire episode?
Did you spread the infestation?
I believe you spread 3 first level spells over 4 episodes,
yes,
which is kind of crazy. So this new mechanic is called Zealous Trance.
Whoa!
Oh,
Moonshine.
Can I call it Sleeping with Melora?
Yes, that is kind of what it is.
Okay.
So Moonshine will be able to regain spell slots during a short rest equal to 1d8 plus her wisdom modifier. So a first level spell costs 1, a second level spell costs 2, et cetera, et cetera, and this can only be used once a day.
I think I just like sit cross-legged and like tweak one nipple and almost like I'm tuning.
Oh my
picture God. Shay.
Spiritual receiver.
Tuning my spiritual receiver, picturing Shay.
Just trying to find K-Rock.
Which is good because it also distracts your enemies from me.
Yeah, she just sits there for an hour during a battle and twists her nipples.
Should I stab her or
Olcob dies again.
She looks so peaceful.
So anyway, guys, let's get started. We're going to start with Moonshine and Bev. So okay. You guys are in the Togold household with Bev's mom, Nana Kindleaf, Erland, and Egwene. You guys are beat up and bloodied, Egwene and Erland included. You can still hear the sounds of fighting in the distance, but sitting around this fireplace, it feels weirdly cozy. But outside, thunder hits, and it begins to rain.
Oh, no. Not again.
Outside, it starts raining.
Wait a second. That's good. That's good it's raining because all the houses are on fire.
Oh, that is good. And you can shape water, right?
I shape all the water to just be like little.
Are you running out there right now? You're at 1 HP.
I grab Moonshine's hand.
When am I not going to do it,
Mark?
I'm running out. Okay.
Are you really?
I'm buckling her overalls back up.
He buckles me to the banister.
Just take a bit. Just take a moment. Well, now that you're restrained to the banister, yeah. I try and have a little chat with you. Moonshine, I know that we're beat up, and there's not much we can do, but we got to try and get as many people to safety as we can.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, if we can find Hardwana, I'm sure he's here somewhere. Close.
Yeah.
By
near, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm sure he's fine.
Within a stick's throw.
Papa's just flipping out.
Hold on. Papa's ringing. Yeah, Papa? I think he just wants to eat. I shove some jerky.
His animal instincts are going off. Hard one and old cop are in trouble. But as soon as you put food in his mouth, he just starts contentedly
takes
eating
a nap.
It. Yeah.
Let's take this to the pantry. We go to the pantry and get Papa something to eat.
Okay. I may be at one hit point, but if there's just a private room, I'm learning a little something about privacy on this trip. If there's just a private room, I could go and sit naked, cross-legged, and tweak my nipple.
Oh. Mom, can she use the gift wrapping room?
Honey,
yeah. It was a grass room.
Honey, why don't you go in the bathroom, not Beverly's bathroom. Just, you can go into my bathroom, okay?
Okay.
And maybe just in the future, we could just say that we need to use the bathroom.
Okay.
How's that?
I'm still learning about privacy.
Yeah.
Okay.
I look at my mom and say, I'll put out the guest towels.
Thank you very much, okay. Honey. Oh, honey, Beverly, I know your father was upset that you broke your little legs. Do you remember when you did that?
My sticks, yeah.
You broke your walking sticks. But he did have something he wanted to give you for graduating the Green Teens. And, you know, I think he'd want you to have it now. And she goes back and she pulls out this little gift box with a big red ribbon in it.
Oh.
She hands it to you.
Oh, I do love a box.
Well, the present's inside, silly.
Is this mahogany?
No, this is a cardboard box. Just open the present.
Moonshine does that thing
that that little kids do where they lurk around because they're kind of jealous that someone hasn't. What's that? Do you need help opening that?
I am
just making noises.
I take a knife and I carefully cut the tape so that the box can be reused. I undo the ribbon and I hand it back to my mom and say, you can put this in the gift wrap room, Mom.
Oh, of course. She takes it and walks away.
I open it up.
You open it up. You see a whetstone, just like a sharpening stone, and it twinkles with green energy.
Ooh, I love that color energy. That's the color of my energy.
Oh, I think I know what this is. This is a crystal, right? Healing crystal. It is. You got it at a gift shop.
Beverly, you look
Natural
at it.
Natural History
it is,
Museum.
It is a sharpening stone.
A sharpening
very,
stone.
Very clearly not a crystal.
I got one of those, yeah.
Stop Natural. Trying to put this in your mouth.
Okay, I walk away and stop doing that.
Start tweaking your nipples early.
Oh, boy. So is this, I could sharpen my sword with it?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you see your mom comes back from the gift wrap room, were you saying?
Yeah, the gift wrap room.
Of course. Okay, she comes back from the gift wrap room, and she says, you can put your sword through and you can sharpen it. Your father was practicing this whole speech he was going to give you about how the knight makes the sword doesn't make the knight. He was getting very nervous about it. He was rehearsing too much. Eventually, he just said he was just going to ship it to you without saying a word.
I'm bawling.
Why are you crying? Your father just said he respected you and that, you know, you'd find your own sword and you'd make your own way. He didn't need to gift it to you.
It's been a long day, Mom. I'm making my whetstone wetter. I pocket it and I hug my mom. I say, thank you. I'll use it and I'll make sure that I always think of you and Dad when I do.
Oh, honey, I'm thinking about you all the time. So I hope you think about me more than just when you use your sword.
Yo, I'm so sorry. I keep opening doors, and they keep me in linen closets.
Okay. I'll lead her to the second guest bathroom.
Please do, honey.
Okay. I walk Moonshine to the second guest bathroom. I lay down a lot of towels on the ground. I stay for a little too long while you begin your nipple tweaking ceremony.
I will also say that I'm going to let you guys take a little bit of an expedited short rest here. I'm also going to give Hard One a little short rest because I fucked up last time in a way that screwed you guys up quite a bit, which is that some people pointed out to me that death saving throws happen at the beginning of your turn, so you should be able to take a full turn.
Oh.
So you guys got way more messed up than you had to be getting popping up and getting knocked down.
I should have like 5 more HP right now. I should be totally fine.
So this will just be like a half hour short rest. You guys won't need to take like a full hour.
Yeah, we're just catching our breath.
You guys are just catching your breath.
All right, cool.
But this, I get my spell slots.
Yeah, so go ahead. You guys roll
And
your...
I get to roll hit dice? Do I get to roll all 5 of my hit dice? I didn't
you
use it
You can roll
for...
as many as you'd like, yeah.
Sick.
So Hardone, why don't you go roll yours as well?
Oh, I got an 8.
Oh, my goodness.
Wait, I get to add my wisdom modifier?
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, boy. Thank you for laying down all those guest towels.
Ew.
No.
Papa leaves, and he does curl up with a book near the fire.
Oh, that's so cute. I curl up with him.
But he's eating the book.
I know, but I think he's reading it. And I think he's so smart. I'm just petting him, being like, you are
see him
so smart.
Tearing out pages, eating them. Mara Togo's just like, oh, God. Okay.
I'm thinking about enrolling him in college. He's already a lawyer.
Honey, he is eating a book.
I know. He is a ravenous reader.
Okay, while we're kind of like communing, mm-hmm. I want to talk to Nana Kindleaf.
Sure.
I just want to ask of her wisdom. I say, Nana Kindleaf, what do you think we should do? You're a respected elder in the community.
Oh, you know, I've lived a long life.
Okay,
and
wow.
I'm very tired. Today's been a very long day. I would love to just go back to my house and
we can't go back to our house, Grandma.
I look over at Egwene and say, I thought that would be more helpful than it was. Egwene, what do you think we should do?
I think we need to get the hell out of here.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we need to go on a mission, collect the neighbors, then find Hardwon, and then shoot off into the sky, Battlestar Galactica, looking for a new home.
It sounds good. We have
guys,
a plan.
Go ahead and give me a perception check.
I want to do a perception check to see if Nana Kindleaf has any Werther's Originals in her pockets. And then I'll do the other bullshit perception you want me to do.
I got a 16 to find out if Nana Kindleaf has Werther's Originals in her
I got
pocket.
A 19.
Okay. You guys look in Nana Kindleaf's bag, and there are so many. There are two full bags of Werther's Originals.
I put them in my mouth, and I spit it out. Oh, so sweet.
I know, right? Oh, so no. Good.
Oh, nasty little nasty little children. And she smacks you both on the head. You nasty little children. I want to go home.
Nana Kindleaf, can I have some Werther's, please?
Rude little boy, sure.
she smacks you again in the head.
Oh, okay.
Do a perception check for the real thing. All right. If you guys roll poorly.
I did roll worse.
Oh, my God.
I got a 12.
And Caldwell
got a 2.
God damn it.
Okay. Banditos. So,
back in the shit. Let's do it.
You guys are back in the shit.
You know, we wouldn't be ourselves if we didn't do stuff like that.
So you guys are kind of distracted at this point. You guys have been out of battle for like half an hour, 45 minutes now. You guys are feeling a bit relaxed. You guys have cured yourselves. You guys are taking
Werther's. I got a pocket full of spells.
You got a pocket full of spells.
Dev's got one full of Werther's.
Suddenly you see, a little too late, the corner of an airship in the window. Go ahead and roll initiative.
All right.
Ooh. That's good. That's going to be 20.
16 for me.
Hey, man.
Okay.
I just had my time with Melora.
Moonshine, you run over to the window. You see this airship has pulled up parallel to the Togold residence, and you see three cannons come out of the hole. Now I roll for everyone. I rolled 2 ones.
Yeah!
Yeah, bitch!
Shitty cannons.
This is for your family to help themselves.
Oh. Oops.
Oh!
Oh, no.
You know Nana Kindleaf didn't roll high.
Nana Kindleaf gets a 25.
Okay, so...
She lived a long, happy life.
At this moment right here, what you guys have just rolled initiative for, these cannons are about to go off, running out of the house, taking cover. All of these things will be made harder depending on how many people you grab. Moonshine, it is your turn first.
Okay. Okay, so yeah. I guess we just need to escape.
Yeah. Yes, we have to do some tactical scoops.
So, yes, so what do? You got to do tactical scoops.
I scoop Nana.
You scoop Nana. You got Nana in your arms. You're going to run out the front door, or you're going to go deeper into the house?
Oh, no, we're just going out the front door.
Cool. Yep. Grabbing someone and running outside, opening the door with them and running out and kind of hitting the deck, that's a DC 15 acrobatics or athletics check.
Ha-cha-cha.
I got 18.
Hell yeah.
You scoop Nana, run outside, just dive and hit the deck. That is you, Beverly.
I want to grab Erlen with one hand and my mom with the other and kind of like lead them along towards the exit.
Great. If you're grabbing both of them, that's going to be another 5. So that's a DC. You're going outside?
Yes.
Okay. DC 20 athletics or acrobatics.
Ooh. Okay. I have 4 in athletics, so let's give it my all. I rolled a one, but...
Okay.
Lucky, lucky, lucky.
All my 20 juice. I used it up last time.
Come on, this is for love.
But wait, maybe my 20 juice was actually just water the whole time. Hold on, this label's coming right off. I'm going to roll.
Okay.
Ugh. That's a
wait,
14.
That didn't give,
14?
Yeah.
You grab your mom and Erlin and start to run through the door, but they're too heavy. You can't get out fast enough. You had to drop one of them.
Oh, God. Oh, no. Fuck. I grab my mom.
Cool. You grab your mom. You rush out. Erlin was kind of like falling over. He was kind of caught flat-footed and tripped and fell down as you grabbed your mom.
Egwin, I'll get him.
I'm counting on Egwin, but as I grab my mom, I pass the amulet to Erlin.
Okay.
Thanks, dude. Don't worry, dude. I'm not going to get in the way. I can handle myself.
And you hear from behind, shut up, you idiot. I'll save you. And Egwene runs up. She luckily is the only other person that acted before the cannons.
Okay, cool.
So good thing everybody got to scoop somebody. So you guys, she runs over, and you know what? She is going to have to do an athletics check to try to get Erlin out. She gets a 17, so she's cool just scooping one person. So she runs over, she scoops Erlin, and you guys all
run out. Oh my God, thank you, Egwene!
And dive and jump on the ground as cannons shoot out and blow out the front of the Togold residence.
Y'all, it's just material possessions. There's a stump with your name on it down on the creek.
we just had that bathroom remodeled. Oh boy.
So meanwhile, hard one. You don't know what time it is. You just know that you're in a bunk below the deck of an airship, but you don't know where you're going. You're sitting there with old Cobb, who is pretty dang beaten up, but you guys both got your little short rest. You guys recovered. You guys have been down here for like, old Cobb tells you guys have been down there for like half an hour, 45 minutes.
Oh, Cobb, I feel like I drank too much creek water last night. Oh,
we also did that in addition to getting beat up.
All right, where the fuck are we?
Honestly, I don't know where the hell we are, brother. We got taken down here by... Oh, that guy.
And you see, he points to Matthew, a.k.a. Matthias, a.k.a. Big Matty Crits.
A.k.a. Matthias of House Crit.
Matthias of House Crit. He's this young, skinny human guy. He's young. He looks like he's maybe about, like, 17 years old. He's got, like, shaggy brown hair. He's leading an older gnome and a bunch of other citizens, like, down a ladder. And he goes, come on, into the cargo hold. You'll be safer down there. And he's, like, leading people. You see he's all, like, bloodied up and super fucked up. And he looks into the room and he sees you guys and he goes, you guys are okay. I'm glad you're all right.
Thanks to you, man.
Hey, you softened him up for me. Honestly, I'm kind of a weenie. It's amazing I survived.
You are not a weenie.
It's complete luck of the draw that
absolute
I survived.
Epic battle. I'm hard one sure foot, bastard of the mountain. Who the heck are you?
My name's Matthew, just Matthew.
Matty Crits, how's it going?
Please don't call me that. It's just Matthew.
Matthias of House Crit.
Just Matthew.
Meet my man, old Cobb.
Hey, how you doing, Matty Crits? Again,
give
just
this
Matthew.
Man a pull of the
Big
flask, Cobb.
Matty Crits, let's have a drink, brother.
You're going to love this creek water, brother.
We really shouldn't be drinking right now. Things
just
are,
one pull.
Things
Matty
are pretty
Crits
dire. We've got the whole ship is full of refugees. We've been gathering people, and we're getting out of Dodge. We're leaving Upper Galateron.
All right, I got to get up onto deck. I actually... was born on one of these bad boys here. I know my way around. I trip a little bit.
You're like a little seasick. You just vomit a little bit.
Gee whiz, that's creek water.
You see Matthew goes, okay, cool. I'm going to go get some more refugees to safety.
Hey, one second. You got any arcane?
I'm sorry, what is arcane?
Like, never mind.
Magic?
Let me up on the deck. Let's see where we're at.
Cool. So you guys walk up to the deck, and you see that the deck is rife with activity. There are dozens of very frightened citizens, families, many of them being led below deck by the White Knights. Their tabards are all stained with blood. You see Lieutenant Naaman barking out orders while another White Knight drives the ship. There are still airship battles going on throughout the sky, and there's still some fighting in Upper Galateron, but this ship is kind of decidedly for the good guys. You guys did win the ship. You guys got backup eventually, and they took it over. And they're evacuating people. They're putting people down in the cargo load and stuff. They normally can't fit this many people on an airship. And Hard One, give me a perception check. I will also have Old Cobb do it, because you're not very perceptive. 12. Okay. All you needed was a 10. This one isn't too difficult.
Woo!
You're probably looking out there, kind of surveying the scene in Upper Galateron, making sure everybody's okay. You guys are kind of heading away from it, but you guys are still pretty close. You're about 100 feet from, like, the walkway. You see in the distance, in the direction of Bev's home, you see an airship shooting into a house. Not Bev's house, but one that's far away. And it looks like that airship's job might be to, like, blow people's houses up.
Fair. Hey, those guys are blowing up houses, and my friends are over there.
Are you saying this to, like, Lieutenant Naaman?
Yeah, yeah.
You're like, okay, so you, like, march up to the leader guy.
Hey, Lieutenant, sir, that ship
Thank
is...
you. Thank you for showing respect. This is a stressful day. It's important that people remember their ranks and such.
That's
Hard
right.
one bends the knee. Just kidding.
Have you thought about becoming a paladin?
No, I'm good, but I appreciate the sentiment.
Yeah.
That airship is shooting a bunch of houses, and my friends are over there, so I'm going to need you to respectfully drop me off.
Oh, well, I mean, we have an entire ship full of people here. They'd be in danger. We'd be endangering all of them just
That's your captain's house over there.
Yeah, you see, he does look out. He knows where Captain Togold lives. He goes, and there's... His family's still there. They haven't been evacuated.
His teenage boy is in there.
You see, he really chews out another guy who is responsible for that area. You see, he gives you a look like, why'd you sell me out, man?
Hard One the Narc. Can we say that the White Knights start calling him Hard One the Narc?
Yeah, Narc One.
I'll tattletale on your scrawny ass anytime you leave somebody in a house to be murdered.
Roll initiative against the White Knights. I'm just kidding. So you see, Lieutenant Naaman says, I can't bring the ship close, but... You can have some of my men, and you could run there on foot.
Great.
Okay. You see a bunch of his guys, a bunch of his little weenie guard guys join you. There are about 10 of them. You guys got, like, a little troop here. You guys got a little army. And they hand you guys, like, grappling hooks. They said we don't have time to stop, so we just have to throw it into the side of the mountain and swing over.
Well, let's do it. I'm the man. Watch this.
Go ahead and give me an athletics check. I'll do an athletics check for each of these guys. It's not that hard. Just... Serious failure will be bad.
Oh, fuck yeah. I got
you just got to beat like a 5.
Well,
to not like
I got a 24. I just want this to sound as epic as it actually is.
You fucking succeed wildly. Damn. You guys all throw your grappling hooks into the side of the mountain. You, Cobb, and 10 of these white knights,
Dang.
We'll call them white weenies.
As I'm swinging, I just want to turn around, point and wink at Matty Critz.
Matty Critz goes, okay.
And flip off the other knight. Like,
you told on me, jerk. Hard One swings into action. Cobb is with you. These guard guys are with you. Are you guys just taking off towards Bev's house?
Yeah, that's my scouting there.
You guys start running towards Bev's house, hauling ass as this ship gets closer and closer to Bev's house until finally it pulls in front of it. You see the cannons come out from the hull. The cannonballs shoot out. As they shoot out, though, you see Moonshine dive out, holding an old woman that you've never seen before.
I said, quit wriggling. You're worse than a bullywog baby straight out the vagina.
Such fresh children. She smacks you in the head. Moonshine and this old woman who is smacking her dive down. You see Bev and his mom run out and hit the deck. And you see the lady snake, Egwene, who you saw from the sword, runs out carrying Erlen, and they all hit the deck as Bev's house explodes and rocks come down and the whole thing just caves in on itself. Everybody roll initiative. You guys are now in this giant battle.
Can I just keep my 20 from before? No? Okay, 10.
13.
10. 12.
What about my 10 men?
I've got your 10 men. Your 10
yeah,
men.
Yeah, Hard One, you showed up with an army.
Small army. But all I needed was Cobb.
What do you call...
Are you guys talking at all? Hard One suddenly shows up with a bunch of dudes.
Have we convened?
Yeah, you guys are
Hard
in
One.
It now.
Hard One!
We were just coming to collect you. We need that stone. We're going to call Uncle Red.
What are
Red?
You doing running up here? Such fresh children.
Oh, who's don't you babe? Slap him. Oh, this is Nana Whistlechild.
And who's this tween?
That's Egwene. That's Erlen's sister.
I'm not
sister.
A tween. I'm a full teen dick.
Yeah, sure she shops at...
How's it going, Erlen?
Oh, hey, dude, it's good to see you.
Low five.
He runs over and he hugs you.
He hugs the hand.
He hugs the hand.
Beth,
he hugs your
jealous.
Giant hand.
Don't get jealous.
I want to turn to Mrs. Togold, too. Did these motherfuckers just blow up your kitchen?
Oh, please don't use coarse language, but yes, these MFers did. They blew up my whole kitchen. The sticky buns are gone.
We call them mommy hunkers.
Hey, friends, let's go.
Honestly, Hardwon, you know the greater indecency is we met up with Mama Togold, and she didn't even have time to make sticky buns.
I am so sorry to hear that.
Yeah, damn. I thought you might. Everyone needs a little fire under their butt right before a battle.
Yeah, I had like a model scale of the planets just suspended from my roof. Pretty sure that's gone, too.
Oh, I caught Saturn.
Oh!
Okay, so these archers go first. So I'm just going to say...
Are these my archers or archers on the ship?
These are archers on the ship. You do not have archers with you. You
nice
just have
try, though,
10
right?
Cool, yeah.
Yeah, your
thought
archers.
It in.
Yeah.
Okay, so there are five of these guys, and they are going to shoot...
Five guys?
These are five guys, burgers and fries again. They're going to shoot fries at you guys. So we'll say these first guys will shoot at Bev and Moonshine. We'll say three at Bev, two at Moonshine.
Bring it on, come on.
Nobody wants to try to hit Nana?
Oh my God, they rolled a 1, an 8, a 5, a 9, and a 2. They all miss.
Oh, beautiful.
Oh, they do?
No, they don't have enough plus to get you.
Okay. God, we bust
I shimmy defiantly.
Yeah, we bust some fucking moves.
Their first shots miss.
They get another.
They take second shots at you guys as you bust moves.
Oh, no.
And they roll a little bit better this time.
Oh, no. Why does that always happen? I need to remember that everyone else in this world gets two attacks.
One hits Moonshine. One hits Moonshine.
Bam, come on.
Four.
It was going to hit me the whole time, but I pretend like I jump in front of Nana.
8.
Okay, that's going to hurt.
Oh, no.
8 damage on Moonshine. These guys shot. That's actually you, Hardwon.
All right, sweet.
So kind of same deal as last time. The crew is, you've got 5 archers, and then you've got about 10 of these wienery guard-looking guys. Captain is suspiciously missing. And you know that there are at least a few more guys down in the hull because somebody was shooting the cannons.
Okay, so first I want to tell Nana and Martha and Erlen, you guys go take cover anywhere you can, and then I'm going to turn to my friends and
say... Go to Nesmond's.
Go over to Nesmond's.
Yeah.
All right, he's deep in the basement.
I think his house is probably going to get screwed up, too. I think we're just going to hide behind some rocks over here.
Y'all,
Do whatever you think is best.
That's a game down at the crick.
Erlen grabs Martha Togold and Nana, and he looks at you, Beverly, and he said, I don't blame you, dude. You shouldn't have to save me all the time. No one should have to save me.
I'll always save you, Erlen.
Oh my God. Can we just fast forward to Erlen doing push-ups in his room, being like, I must earn the
Get
love
angry,
that I
Erlen.
Feel.
Erlen is just trying his best to save face now and help as best he can. He runs off with the moms.
Put that hiding badge to good use.
All right, guys. Me and Cobb took a ship before.
You took
Pretty
a ship?
Easy. We took a ship. It was...
Oh, shit.
Okay. I don't know why you needed to
we
tell us
We took a huge ship.
It took us all day, but Cobb and I took a ship, all right?
I love
okay.
it.
We I took... mean, I took a couple myself, but
yeah, I know.
I've been learning privacy, so I've been keeping it to myself.
No,
ship. Pip, with a P. Guys, we got to go on to this boat.
Yeah, let's
okay?
get on this
okay,
boat.
Yeah, yeah.
You see it is, at this point, they've like thrown down little anchors, so you guys can jump onto it if you'd
all
like.
All right, let's charge it.
So it is just your turn right now, Hardwon. You charging in, what are you doing?
I am charging in. I am going to go for the guards.
You run in, jump on the ship. These guys pull out their swords. You rush at them with your axe. Take a swing.
That is going to hit. That's a 25.
That hits.
Hit him for 9.
Cool. He is still alive, but he's very hurt.
Great. Well, I'm going to swing at him again.
Cool.
And that time I will probably miss. That's an 11.
That does not hit.
That makes sense.
Okay. That is actually Bev's turn.
All right. Yeah, I follow Hardwon.
Cool. Jump on. Are you going after guards or archers? What are you doing?
I'll see if I can cleave some archers.
Take a swing at an archer.
6 plus 8. What is that?
6 plus 8 is 14.
14.
That hits.
Ah, look
These
at
guys
that.
Guys have leather armor on. They're not super tough.
All right, let me roll some dice.
Cool.
Would my 11 have hit?
No.
Cool.
No. You gotta do better than that.
That's
makes sense.
15 damage.
Oi, he's on death's door.
All right.
Super, super hurt.
Cool. Yeah, let me try and...
Take that second attack and hurt some of these guys.
Cleaving and weaving. Here we go.
Remember the goat men? How easy it was to kill
These guys
them.
Are a little better than the goat men.
That's
but
17.
17
AC my roll?
Hits.
They're leaving less of a stain on my soul.
And that's 10 damage.
Tell me how you kill this one guy. He was at 1 HP and you kill him so bad.
I fake with my sword and then I kick him off the boat.
Cool. Sick. But you need to cleave. So I guess you'll do like a kicking action while stabbing into the next guy.
Yeah.
I'll allow that. Cool. You kick this guy off the boat and he goes, "Dick move. It's going to take so long for me to die."
Okay.
You hear him echoing, taking breaths and falling.
I kind of like shrug at Hard One.
Screams up all of his regrets deep in the distance, falling forever.
That was for you, Erlen.
I don't need to be saved, dude.
Erlen's getting angsty.
I love it. Something changed between you two youngins.
Whirlwind.
You super hurt this other guy. You stab into him. You get under his little weenie leather armor. Who doesn't wear heavy plate?
God, this is like a German restaurant. So many weenies around here.
Yeah, you stab this weenie. And that is Moonshine's turn.
My eyes roll back into my head. And I say, "Storms are brewing." And then I call lightning down.
Oh, yeah, it is raining too, right?
Yeah, it's already raining. So these guys go, no, you see, Egwene goes, "Yeah, I know that a storm is a brewing."
And I say, "Shut up, little lady. I kissed up to you for long enough. Watch a bitch call lightning." And then I call lightning down.
Oh my God, that was awesome.
And then I call lightning down. So I want to, like, as many creatures as I can within a 5-foot point, but not hurting Bev or Hardwon.
Okay, you can definitely get, like, 6 guards.
Yeah, so they have to make dexterity saving throws.
Look out.
3, half of them saved.
Okay, so anyone who saved takes 10, and anyone who didn't takes 20.
What?
Yeah.
You killed 3 of them.
Lightning comes down and obliterates 3 of them. They're just gone. You just see chain shirts flop down, comically smoking. These other guys look super scared and super hurt.
I say the wisps of smoke coming from them spell out the name Melora, but I can't read it?
No, because you don't know how to spell Melora. Papa tries to tell you how he would spell Melora. You guys just see, once again, Mo in the air.
Moonshine's back.
Okay, so now these chosen guards are going to go. How many of them are there left?
I know it's raining, too, just seeing 3 people explode into fucking smoke.
Well, last time she saw me fight, I was using 0-level spells, a.k.a. cantrips.
She saw you give people fleas.
Yeah, you see she has, like, hair down in her face. You can even see it under her helm. She kind of wipes her bangs to the side, and she goes, "That was actually pretty cool." "I didn't know you could do that."
Oh, the respect of a teen.
"I thought you were just a big, weird bug lady."
I pretend like it doesn't feel so good, but it feels so good to get respect of a teen.
Respect of a teen is the rarest treasure in all of D&D.
Okay, so there are 7 of these guard guys. They are, you know what? Hard One is fighting them while Bev's after the archer, so they're going to take cracks at you. But this isn't as dire as last time.
No.
Let's see here. Okay. 1 crit and 1 hit.
Why do people crit on my ass all the time?
I don't know.
Crit on my ass! Crit all over my ass!
Oh, you little crit stain!
Crit on my ass, man.
Oh, my butt cheeks are critical.
That is 14 damage.
Okay.
These white knight weenies act. Yum. They run on to the ship following their new leader, who they follow with such zeal. Does that make sense?
I'm reviewing.
Yeah.
Zeal?
Oh, I know something about zeal.
Yeah, you're zealous.
They're all tweaking their nipples as they run onto the ship.
Did you just tweak your nipple?
Tweak away, man!
So I'm going to roll.
Give yourself a titty twister.
I'm going to roll 10 d20s as these guys attack the other guards, of which there are only 7 left.
So cute.
And many of them are so hurt. Oh, guys, you did okay. Oh, there's a crit.
Fellas.
Is there? I was like,
there's 2 dang crits.
What are the statistics of there being a crit?
2 crits.
2 crits.
Oh, we got
2 crits.
Why do people crit for my ass all the time?
Okay. Okay. Guy who crits.
Crit for me. Crit for me.
That's how I have sex from now on.
Crit on my ass.
Is Daddy going to make you crit?
Oh, huh? I'm going to crit. I'm going to crit.
Disgusting.
Oh, I'm critting.
Okay,
so you'll never get laid again.
So 4 guys hit. So the guy who crit takes out a full health 1. And these other 3 guys that hit are going to take out the guys that were at 1 HP. Jesus.
Three guards.
There's three guards left. Dope. There's only three guards left on their side.
Doing good.
You guys are doing
efficient.
Where's Cobb and Egwene at? Are they?
They're lower in the order.
Got it.
First, something happens.
Oh,
he's got that little grin.
Fucker.
I got this grin.
After these white weenies go, only three guards left. Looks like you guys have the battle won.
We'll win the day. Yeah, nothing bad could possibly happen. Purple nurples for everyone.
This fight is easy.
Yeah, Moonshine's like, yo, Gwen, you want to get jobs at the ice cream shop down by the shore this summer?
I mean, yeah, we just have this ship. We could just go wherever we want.
Oh, my God.
Road trip.
Okay.
Why do I need attention from teenagers?
So suddenly, you guys see two guards run out from below deck, as well as a cloaked dwarf.
Oh, he's a little druid, isn't he?
Holding a great axe.
Oh, no.
Okay, maybe not.
The dwarf has a chosen knight standing with him, who is this tall, skinny man with very, like, pointy features. He almost looks like elvish. This knight guy holds a holy symbol, which is like a platinum amulet with a gold sword on it. It glows with a radiant energy. The knight presents it to the dwarf, who, you know, kind of shudders. And then the knight points to the little white knight weenie guys and yells, "Get them, Ulfgar!"
No!
Ulfgar. Oh, we're meeting fucking Ulfgar?
Roars and charges into combat.
No, he's under some kind of spell.
What do they do to him?
He's under some kind of spell, doesn't
it sound
like it?
It's that little fucking amulet thing, yeah.
On Ulfgar's turn, you see him rush up
this little fucking
to
knight.
These 10
I'm freeing Ulfgar. I believe in his innocence.
He takes his
Manchurian
first
Ulfgar.
I've been a big fan of Ulfgar for a long time. This
I know,
is not
I'm
the
devastated.
Ulfgar that I know.
I'm devastated right now.
You see, he's still he's got a cloak over his face.
I kind of built up Ulfgar in my head, and I was like, he's this cool guy. He's
in one hit, chops two of them in half. Two guys gone.
I don't know if that's Ulfgar, but that seemed pretty Ulfgar to me.
He takes his second swing.
Wow.
And he hits.
He gets two attacks?
Ulfgar hits for three. He just has one attack. He's got a little dagger. And he swings through two more guys. He takes his third attack.
Mm.
And he hits, believe it or not.
Oh, boy.
And he slices through one guy, greatly injures another guy. He takes a fourth attack. And he hits. He goes through that guy that he just greatly injured, chops another dude in half, and hurts another guy really badly.
I mean, I really want him to be on our side.
Yeah. That would be good.
Ulfgar takes a fifth attack.
I really hate this, but I'm goddamn impressed.
I know, me too.
And he crits.
I'm trying not to ovulate.
Oh. He does so much damage. On this crit, he slices through the remaining guys, and all of the white weenies are dead.
Oh, he halved our weenies.
That was my fucking army.
You chubbed our weenies. Ulfgar chubbed our weenies!
Ulfgar, I never took you for a chub of weenie.
You just hear him.
He's under a spell. Get the amulet away from him. Get the amulet away from that little knight.
I don't think we can fight him. Not like this.
I'm not going for Ulfgar. I'm going for the freaking amulet.
That is Ol Cobb's turn. And
Cobb,
he looks at you guys and goes,
the amulet
what are you,
holder.
What are you
shoot
the tall, pointy dude.
Ol Cobb hops on the ship. Ol Cobb looks rattled having seen that. And Ol Cobb is going to hit. Ol Cobb does 9 damage to this knight guy. He's just taking another shot. He misses. Boom. Blunderbuss bangs into the air. Egwene starts taking shots at this knight guy.
That's right. Hit his wrist.
Yeah, hit him in the wrist.
Aim for his wrist, but if I hit him, that's what I was trying to do. She actually misses on her first attack.
Wrist.
Pings off her armor. She, for being a total badass, she is rattled. She is a rattled child.
Suddenly her age is like way.
Yeah, suddenly her age is showing a little bit. You see her kind of shaking as she holds the bow, but she does manage to hit this knight for 8 damage.
Not bad, young tween.
Yeah.
I'm not a tween.
Sure.
Yeah, no, you're a lady.
Thank you. That is back around to the archers.
Oh.
Who all fire at Ulfgar.
Who Bev's up in their business. There's only 4 of them. So I'm going to say they just swing with their short swords because you're all up in the mix with them. So they're just going to go after you, Beverly.
Are we not all just totally distracted?
They go, huh, did you see that? He's on our side, Dick.
Damn.
And he swings.
Respect.
Two guys hit you on their first attacks. 10 damage total.
Mm.
Second attack, they all miss.
All right, cool.
They all miss big time.
I shake off my fear and anxiety at seeing Ulfgar in this state.
That is you, Hard One.
Ulfgar, Hard One Shortfoot, Bastard of the Mountain, dude from Iron Deep, big fan. I'm gonna try to kill your master. Okay.
You're possessed.
Never meet your heroes.
is true.
Gonna swing my great axe at the pointy elf.
Okay,
guy.
You're running over to the night guy.
Ooh, 16.
16 does not hit him.
All right, we'll take a second swing.
I'm hoping that the Duddle technique pays off this time.
20 hits.
Nice.
Hit him for 10.
10 damage. That is Bev's turn.
Okay. Let me first, I'll shout to Erlen, say, Erlen, toss me the amulet.
Oh, you're pretty far away, dude. Can you just like look at it?
And he holds up the amulet.
His wrist gets
it. I need it. I need to hold it. I want to try and counter program Ulfgar.
Oh,
Erlen, it's time to do our ultimate move.
Oh, you don't catch. Want someone to catch that though.
Okay, Erlen is gonna run out. He throws the amulet into the air. You're gonna do an opposed athletics check against these archers that are up in your business.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, this is that Hail Mary. This is the jump ball.
Yeah.
I'm very good at sports.
I'm John Elway, dude. I'm helpful.
Now my turn?
You got to crit.
I have to crit? Okay.
One guy crit.
All right.
Well, just let him catch it and take his legs out from under him.
What am I adding to this?
Your athletics.
Okay. I did not crit, but I got an 18.
That doesn't do it. Erlen throws the amulet.
Shit.
One of these archer guys reaches up and grabs the amulet out of the air as you reach up to grab it.
I attack.
Cool.
18.
18 hits.
Okay.
Get that amulet back.
That's 14 damage?
14 damage. He is very hurt, but not dead.
Let me just attack them.
Cool.
That's going to be 20.
20 hits.
Not natch.
Okay.
All right, cool. 13 damage?
13 damage. You super kill him, and you kill a hurt guy next to him.
Yeah.
Woo. Oh, nice. There was one guy who was only at 7, and that guy was only at 2. So you not only slice through him, you slice through the archer next to him. You do eventually get the amulet back.
Nice.
From, like, a discarded corpse.
Another successful game of catch.
I'm sorry I messed up, man.
No, that was me. That was all me, dude.
Too much arc. I should have thrown it harder.
Next year, you and me, we're going to John Elway's football camp.
You need a swift chest pass there.
That is Moonshine's turn.
Okay, I'm going to Misty Step, and what do you add to grapple? Is it strength?
Strength or athletics. I will give you advantage on the roll because you're like surprising him.
Okay.
It's like a sneak attack.
Yeah, I'm going to Misty Step and try and steal that amulet.
Okay.
20, not nat.
Okay, shit. So Moonshine Misty steps behind this guy, reaches
Surprise!
Out to grab the amulet. Huh. He got a 19.
Yes!
Moonshine, you reach out.
I whisper in his ear because it feels like a catchphrase right now. I'm like, storm's a brewing.
Yes, I know it's raining. What are you one of the guards? Oh, You grab the amulet off of him.
So nice. Misty Step is a bonus action. Does that mean I get to do anything else?
If you want to do something with the amulet or yell something, I will allow that.
I'm going to say, Ulfgar, kill this knight. And I point at the knight.
Give me a persuasion check with advantage.
Oh,
hell yes.
Did it already.
That's pretty good.
Shout out to the two crew, but I am going to go with a 16.
Respect two crew.
18.
Wow. Moonshine, as you yell that, Ulfgar turns towards you in the night, and you see the knight is standing there with you, and he goes, "What are you doing? He'll kill all of us! He'll kill all of us!" You see Ulfgar starts cackling. And his hood falls back. And you guys know Ulfgar was famous for having like jet black hair, just this like powerful young dwarf.
Oh my God.
Now his hair is gray.
Oh,
it's
no.
Only been a few years since the like Asmodeus stuff.
It looks
his
good
eyes,
on you.
His eyes are a milky white, and you see giant black scabs all over his face.
Oh, you're gracefully
dang,
aging.
Dang, you got that right.
And the wounds are pulsating as if they're alive and breathing on their own.
Is it still my turn that I can ask a question?
It would appear that Ulfgar has Krikrot.
That's what I wanted to say! Ulfgar, come with me. I'm going to save whatever's ailing you.
Moonshine. Ulfgar starts charred. It is not Ulfgar's turn, but Ulfgar starts running towards you in the night.
I'm not scared. Now no. That I see he has Krikrot, I just want to give him a big hug.
You need to take a wide berth.
Yeah, do you want to take any movement to like back up from the night at all?
I want to open my arms.
You know
for
he's
a
got
hug.
He's got cleave and stuff.
But he has Krikrot.
Okay. Okay.
All right.
We'll
he
deal with that.
He has Krikrot.
Okay. No. Dang, okay, Moonshine's just standing there trying to support him. Oh,
I'm sorry,
boy.
I cannot be rational here. I just saw what's afflicting my people.
This is good.
You see the knight starts yelling to the little wienery dudes. Get in the way! Stop him! Get the amulet back! And these guards, there are five guards left. Three of them are going to go stand in front of their captain. These guys believe that the light will protect them, that they're going to be okay.
I'm going to nod to the other two and just be like, right move.
And those two guys are going to try to grab
Moonshine?
The amulet from Moonshine.
You know what? If they get me down, I died trying to love.
Beautiful.
Moonshine, give me like an athletics or a strength check.
Let's go, Moony.
Aw.
What did you get?
They rolled a 2 and a 4. They got a...
I got a 12!
They got a 3 and a 5.
Can I dictate how I won?
Please.
I would like to say that Papa popped out of my bib, grabbed the amulet, and then dove back into my bib.
So good.
They're just like trying to grab at you. You're wrestling both of them. You've got your hand like stiff arming one of them as they try to grab at you. Papa's just deep in them overalls, not traceable. Just he's down in like the ankles, rolling around down there. Oh my goodness. Okay, that was the guard's turn. They totally wasted their fucking turn. And then that's Ulfgar. Ulfgar rushes forward. He's got three guys in his path. Takes his first attack. Hits, believe it or not.
Ulfie.
That is 21 damage. It kills one guy and it puts another guy down to one.
Ooh.
That guy is super, super hurt.
Wait, does
again.
The other guy go down to one because he's a zombie?
No, he goes down to one because he got sliced through.
Oh, okay.
Ulfgar didn't do enough gotcha. Damage. Ulfgar looks very upset about that. He swings, gets a little emotional, rolls a 1, misses, believe
whoa.
It or not.
Stop wriggling around, you wriggly little bitches!
I was just telling Nana that.
He takes his third swing, and he does hit. And he does quite a bit of damage, and he swings through another two guys. He takes... Oh, that's it for those guys. He rushes forward, and... He's okay. You're there with your arms open.
I have a look of love on my face, and my bosom is so inviting for the warmest hug he's ever gotten.
Okay, Ulfgar.
But I also did command him with the amulet.
You did
to go after the knight.
Yes. So Ulfgar is first. I'm gonna have you roll another persuasion check if he kills this guy and continues to cleave through him.
Okay.
So he takes his first swing at this guy who is. Rightly horrified. And he crits.
Shucks.
I whisper to Papa, if I drop, scramble boy away with the amulet.
Okay.
Nice.
He does 40 damage.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid of it.
He cuts
down.
This knight right in half. You're back there with these two guards on you. Moonshine, roll pure luck on a d20. I will still let you roll a persuasion check if he was going to hit you, but just pure luck.
17.
Woo-hoo. Okay.
Hey there, Nadpoles. This episode is brought to you by Aura Frames. Are you looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the moms in your life? Well, look no further. Aura Frames are the beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. It's super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. And if you're giving an Aura as a gift, you can even personalize the frame with preloaded photos and memories. My mom, my mother-in-law, and my grandmother-in-law all have Auras from me, and they love them. So from grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, and even the friends in your life, every mom loves an Aura frame. Named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. Trademark, brother. Aura frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages. They're easy to set up. They are the perfect gift, and they've got unlimited storage, unlimited photos and videos. You can invite as many people as you want to a frame. There are absolutely no hidden fees or subscriptions. How beautiful is that? And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That is Aura, A-U-R-A, Frames.com. Use the code PAWPAW at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. Thank you, everybody.
Howdy, Nadpoles. Caldwell here with a very important question. Do you like spending money? I sure do. Every time I give away my money, chances are good I'm going to get something I want in return. It's a pretty sweet deal. But sometimes I find myself paying for things I'm not even using. And when that happens, I end up having less money in my bank to spend on things I do want. Ridiculous, right? Luckily, Rocket Money is here to help. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all the app's features. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. That is rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. One more time, that's rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. That's it for me. Thanks for listening and happy savings.
One of these guys rolled very poorly. He gets completely killed by the leftover damage. And another guard goes down. There's another 10 damage left over. This guy kind of got out of the way as the cleave starts to go through to you. Moonshine, what do you say? The fact that you have the amulet is helpful.
I say, Ulthgar, you are a hero for a reason. Even if that is not on display in this moment, I believe in you. I do not know what infects your blood and what infects your brain and what infects your organs and your viscera, but I know that your heart has not been infected.
Give me a persuasion check with advantage.
Yes!
It's been so brutal if you said with this.
Ulfgar is C+. Just a super modest guy. He didn't want
to
hear that.
Shout out to the two crew, but I am going go to go for the 11, so it's 13.
13.
Hmm.
It's 30. Fine. I'll take the damage. I'll still have some hit points to try and persuade him to love.
He does continue to slice through.
Bring it
but
on.
But he hits you for 10 damage.
I love you as he is slicing through me.
You do see as he like cuts into you and you're not fighting, you see this guy is just in a fucking frenzy, just like full bloodlust. You see him like kind of lose grip of his axe for a second, and you see that one of his milky eyes like goes clear for a second. He's got like a pupil again, and then he like chases the fucking blood on the air as he cuts into you, and it goes white again as he slashes through your belly, but you back up.
Oh my god, this is what's affecting my people. Are they all attacking each other?
That takes us to...
So it's 10 damage, right?
It's 10 damage.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
That's not hospitable.
This is a fun encounter.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
You know what? Sometimes, you know, if you're a bad guest, sometimes you just need to learn a lesson about hospitality.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, that is... So it's Ol Cobb's turn. Old Cobb is going to rush up and join Moonshine, and he's going to hold his action until further notice. That is Egwene's turn. Egwene has, like, her bow up, and she's shaking, and she yells to you guys, "What do I do? I don't know what to do."
Hardwood puts up his hand. Don't shoot it yet.
Yeah. Okay. Hold your action.
She holds her action.
I nod at her.
She nods, fucking terrified. That is back to the archers.
These bozos.
Oh my god, these fucking bozos. These bozos run. These guys fucking take off. The
Wait,
archers
no.
and the guards take off. You guys get opportunity attacks on them if you want to try to kill them if they run off, but they're
I was going to ask about
opportunity attacks.
I was going to ask if they had like lovers or parents or like just learn a little more about them.
Yeah, they're yelling about all the things they have to live for as they run off.
Yeah, right. They're the chosen. They're the bad guys.
So these archers have taken off. This guard guy can't take off yet. It is not his turn. It is Hardwon's turn.
I throw down my axe.
Okay.
I say, Ulfgar, we are not your enemy. And you are not yourself. Look at Moonshine.
You see? He looks at you. He looks at Moonshine. He's just like covered in blood and this fucking maniac.
You're a man of the mind, just like me. I know you can't be controlled by a fucking amulet. You're stronger than that.
Bev, it is your turn.
That guard's still there, right?
Yes, he is still there.
I guess I'll take care of him first.
Okay.
Seems smart.
He's like turning to go run away.
Oh, is he running away?
You don't know. It's not his turn yet.
All right.
He might pull some scumbag shit. You don't
know. Just sidle up behind him and just quietly stab under his breastplate.
Yeah.
It'll look like he fainted.
I want to do a real cool moonshine slide. And try and stab this guy.
Okay.
And then get in position next to Moonshine.
Cool.
Okay, that's 16 plus 8. That's probably going to do it.
Yes. All right. I'm just going to hit this guy. It is so funny when Ooh. Huge things happen, but there are still weenies around.
Yeah, that's 8 damage.
Cool, he's still alive.
Okay.
Barely, and he doesn't have a lot to live for. He doesn't like his life right
can
now.
Can I just like... Say, you gotta just push him and be like, get out of here. Go.
Yeah.
Get
yeah.
out of here, yeah, man.
Go when you're not needed.
What the fuck you do? Go.
Okay.
Read the damn room, buddy.
He's so panicked, he starts running and he just falls off the airship.
No.
Oh,
come on.
No.
Mom, move. Mom, watch out.
No. He's just gone.
Now I'm in position.
Yeah.
Can I pray? Can I like... Hold yeah. my amulet up. All right, okay. I want to hold my amulet up to Ulfgar.
Okay.
This isn't what Theala would want.
You see, he laughs.
Uh-oh.
And he goes, "This is exactly what she wants."
What?
That is Moonshine's turn.
Is Theala responsible for Krikrot?
Moonshine, it is your turn. What do you do?
Okay, I'm gonna say, Ulfgar. I command you to remember the happiest moment from your childhood. Whether it be running amok in the fields, chasing a nannerfly, or eating a big old piece of gooseberry pie. I don't know what the happiest moment in your childhood was, but I command you to remember it and remember why you went down the path that you went down. And if you still want to fight me, I will take your blows as a friend and not a foe.
Okay. Roll a persuasion check with advantage. You got the amulet. Your friends helped you out. You can also roll a d6 of inspiration.
Okay.
Ulfgar's happiest moment was probably carrying ore up from the mines as a toddler.
Okay, I got a 19 plus 2, so 21... Plus yeah. one of inspiration, so 22.
It was a DC 20 persuasion check.
Hey,
Ulfgar goes back to swing, and as the axe starts to get close to you, he just goes, "Duck, damn it, duck!" Do you duck?
No.
Old Cobb, reaction, dives and catches you and throws you down.
No!
No, he dove on top of you. He didn't
take it. As Ulfgar swings, Olcob grabs you and you guys hit the deck. Ulfgar swings, fucking baseball bat swing with his axe, but throws his axe away. And it goes and it hits into the mountain. Ulfgar drops to the ground and he starts clawing at its face. But you see that one of his eyes is back to normal. Like, he's got pupils again. And you see he goes, "She's manipulating me. She knows of my bloodlust. If I'm near her or if I'm in battle, I can't control myself."
Hardwon, pilot this ship as far away from here as possible.
Yeah, old Red taught me a thing or two. Erlen, Nana!
Hop on!
Miss Togold, get on board!
Let's book it!
I'm the captain now! I spin the wheel and fucking head out into the sunset.
Erlen, Nana, and Mama Togold run out, jump into the airship.
Ulfgar, what did you remember when I asked you to remember your favorite childhood memory? I'll tell you my favorite childhood memory if you tell me yours.
I barely even remember.
Was it pie?
I can't remember the last time. I can't remember the last time I ate or I did anything.
I'll whip you up some food. I'll whip you up some food.
You like jambalaya?
Jumbo?
I don't know.
Dispatch?
I don't know what I like anymore.
Oh, Melora.
Gob, give him some of that crick water.
You know what? I don't know if I want to see what this fella's like drunk.
That's sort of a downer.
You guys got Ulfgar here. He's kind of freaking out. He's there clawing at his
I think we just need to get as away. Far okay. away yeah, yeah, yeah. from yeah, he's just as
like,
possible.
He's just like punching planks and freaking out, but trying to contain himself, like being a maniac dude,
I
but not attacking anyone.
I toss him the dead body of one of the white knights.
Holy shit, he just starts punching one. He just keeps punching into it.
I politely cover Nana's eyes.
Hardwon, player block.
Yeah.
Clap, 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 clap,
I break out new Betsy.
Beautiful. You guys play this beautiful. He starts punching the dude's face to the beat. Hardwon takes the wheel. You guys take off on this airship into the storm. It is still daytime. Suddenly,
oh no,
the sky goes black.
What?
It just immediately turns to night.
A mythical dragon.
Worse.
But there are no stars.
Just nighttime.
More bullywugs.
There are no stars in the sky.
Oh, God.
But then your eye is drawn to the clouds above the castle.
Oh.
Where you see what looks like an angel with wings in the shiniest plate mail you've ever seen. She wields a shield and a mighty hammer that she raises over her head. It radiates a white light that envelops her in a giant magical orb. She's as bright as the moon in the night sky. She's floating down towards the castle, and you're too far away to see if her mouth is moving, but you suddenly hear a voice in your head. "My child, you have been forsaken." And you see, based on how everyone else is reacting, like Hardwon, you look over at Old Cobb and he's looking up at Theala. You guys see like Erlen and your mom and everybody look up.
"Did someone use rapport spores? I thought I was the only one who could cast it."
She keeps talking. She says, "For ages, we have worshipped false gods who've toiled away on their own planes while we bled. But we suffer no longer. I will take care of you. Follow me, and I will lead you to heaven, a world without sin. I will bring this kingdom to light!" Suddenly, there's an explosion of light from her hammer, and the sky instantly clears up, and it's day again. It's not even raining. She says, "Today, the Chosen have failed in their mission to purge the non-believers. But I am a benevolent God. I forgive you, my children. The evils of these false deities was too difficult to overcome on your own. But unlike them, I am here to help my followers." you suddenly see 8 spectral angels with giant great swords emerge from around her. And together, they all begin lowering down towards the church district. And suddenly you hear yelling in your head. Death to all those who oppose the light! Death to the non-believers! Death to false gods!
No!
Shit, we gotta go back for your
You
dad.
Guys also see movement. You see, they look like little ants, they're so far away, as the Chosen begin rushing down the stairs from the castle. Guys, everybody give me a perception check.
Ooh, that's a nat 20, when I don't really need
Holy
it.
Holy shit. No, you do need it.
Oh, good.
As she's lowering, like, in slow motion, like, even as she's just talking in your head, hard one, your eye is suddenly drawn to Rosaline, and you hear loud whispering.
Rosaline. I go over to it.
Okay. Do you guys all touch it?
What do you sword?
Guys say? Just hard one. Is it going to compromise Ulfgar if I touch it?
Actually, Ulfgar, as soon as fucking Theala popped up, he started clawing at his face and ran down below deck.
Cool. Hey guys, the
heads up.
That loser's sword is talking, I think.
Is it a listed number?
Let's check it out.
Okay.
Cool. So you guys
we all put
grab
our
the
ear
sword.
To the seal.
Yeah. You guys know that Durlin has a sword, Uncle Duck has a sword.
No.
Who do you guys listen to? No. Who do you
Uncle
guys go to?
Duck,
Uncle
definitely,
Duck.
Definitely,
okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. You guys channel Rosaline. You see through Uncle Duck's eyes. You see that the Green Knights and the Green Teens are in their chapel. The door is barred shut with pews stacked up against it. And you can hear the sounds of fighting outside. And you see the door shaking as someone rams against it. Bev's dad and the other knights are sitting in a circle on a giant flower bed, holding hands around a statue of Pelor in the middle of the room. He leads everyone in a ritual. It sounds like he's speaking Elvish, but it's a little bit different. Bev and Moonshine, you quickly realize that he's speaking Sylvan, the language of the Fae, as in the fairy folk. You can pick
you
up...
You got a well-versed pop.
You can pick up words here and there. You hear that he's requesting access to a kingdom, to a place called the Feywild. You hear the Feywild, Feywild, requesting
Feywild.
Access, things you don't understand.
Daddy's tripping planes.
You guys know from stories that the Feywild is a world of beautiful chaos defined by nature and magic. And unlike the upper and lower planes where the gods reside, the Feywild is a parallel plane to the mortal realm. So powerful heroes with a strong connection to nature can access it at certain weak points between the two worlds. One such point exists here at the Church of Pelor, which is why the building is overrun with abundant plant life. It would appear that the Green Knights are performing a ritual to escape there, but it isn't quite working yet. Bev, since you prayed to Pelor to protect your dad,
yeah,
I'm gonna let you guys aid in the ritual.
Oh,
I
okay,
want to know
good.
What I want you guys to roleplay it and tell me what everyone does.
Okay.
I am going to tweak my nipple, and tune into Melora and say, Melora. The children of Pelor need proof that you are a cooperative, communal god. Show them your kindness and transport them to the Feywild, preferably the most safe part of the Feywild, because I know that shit gets dodgy.
You see that as you say that, old Cobb puts his hand on your shoulder and he goes, "No, I ain't a praying man, but I have sinned. I know the world has given me plenty of chances. I only ask that you extend the same blessings to those people up there in that their church."
I take out like a little knife and I'm like, "Do we blood ritual, y'all?"
Hard one shakes his head.
Like, no?
Not yet.
Oh, okay.
Hard one, I think, I'm just going to take my braid out, shake out my hair, shut my eyes and say, I've never believed in anything, but if there's any gods out there, prove me wrong. And then I'm going to start playing my woodblock.
Oh, I I take out new Betsy and I play.
The band starts playing.
I take out my fife, yeah.
Bev, what do you do?
Okay, I think I do call to Egwene and Erlen.
Okay.
And my mom and Nana Kindleaf. We're all, you know, of the... We all have training in the arts of the green teen.
They join you. You guys kind of all circle up. They hold hands with you guys.
I take one of the more colorful mushrooms out of Moonshine's hair with permission.
Oh, always. It's kind of like it's a take a penny, leave a penny there.
So you have to hock a loogie in her hair.
I do. I do that. And I put it in the center and I say, it's not much, but it'll do.
The Fae, that's such a good idea. I bet the Fae would love mushrooms.
Yeah,
they're
give
so
it.
So quixotic.
I give an offering of a wild symbol of nature. I invite everyone to join me, and we all circle around like I saw my dad doing.
Okay, heck, y'all. I know you said it wasn't time for a blood ritual, but I shed a little bit of blood. Touch of blood.
I think
on the mushroom.
I think I say this for the Fae, this for the wild, and I put some blood on the mushroom as well.
Dope. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. I'll do some blood too.
Yeah. Okay.
You see these other guys. You see Erlen cuts his hand.
Yeah.
And he puts his hand over the mushroom, and he goes, Pallur, if you help these guys, I'm going to become a cleric. I'm going to be a cleric because I'm not strong, but I think I'm just strong in a different way. And I want to help people. So I hope this works. Please help people.
Youngin, you would make such a good cleric.
Proud
of you. Erlen looks at you and he puts his hand on your shoulder and he goes, Bev, you can do this. We got to do this.
We can do this. Thank you for being here. I can't do it without you.
None of this is possible without you, dude. We're going to do this. I know we're going to do this.
I'm trembling a little bit. The amulet is in my hand and it's shaking. I put it away for now. Because I don't think I need it.
I don't think it's helpful in this situation.
No.
I want to power her.
I shed its... I hide it away. And then I focus on Pallor without its aid.
Okay.
And I walk to the center. I get everyone to start swaying, playing an instrument if they want.
Ooh, okay. Feel like I'm about a crawfish boil.
I get them to start humming. They start saying, Kalu, Kalay, Kalu, Kalay, Kalu, Kalay, Kalu, Kalay. Oh, great Pallor.
Kalay.
My people need you.
Kalay, Kalu.
It's time for us to go on a trip.
Kalu.
We've worked hard,
Kalay,
but there's more work to be done.
Kalay, Kalu.
You are a man of joy,
Kalay,
a god of delight,
Kalay,
but most of all, Kalay, you are wild and pure.
Kalay,
take Kalay, us to the land where my Kalay, people may heal.
Kalay,
take us to the Feywild.
Kalay.
Beautiful. Bev, roll me a religion check with advantage and give me 3 dice of inspiration.
Okay.
One from Moonshine, one from Hard One, and
D6?
One from Erlen.
D6?
Yep, D6, babies.
Take my D6.
That's a 19 on the first roll.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
It's a 9 on the second one, so.
Okay.
19, right. But then you add your religion.
Oh, yeah. So 19 plus my religion, I believe, is 3. Okay.
22?
Yeah.
4.
Nice. 4. What does that bring it up to? 26?
I drop a little more blood. 3.
29. Erlen goes.
Before he goes, I grab him and I smooch his face really hard.
Bev and Erlen kiss in the middle.
Melora is
he
good.
Rolls a 5. That's a total of what? You guys got like 34?
34.
This was a DC 30 check. You see vines shoot out from the ship and circle around Bev and Erlen as they kiss in the middle. And it is this beautiful, majestic scene.
Moonshine weeps.
Vines.
Moonshine and Papa are weeping.
You see vines grow around them and flowers sprout up on the vines. And then, Hard One, you still have the sword. You're looking through the sword. You see the flower bed that they're around comes to life with blades of grass slithering, then growing into vines and wrapping themselves around the green knights and the green teens. The garden glows green, then takes on a gel-like consistency, then gets brighter and brighter as Bev's dad and company are pulled into it. It looks almost like an octopus dragging someone into the ocean. The last thing you see is a face full of green goo as Uncle Duck is swallowed down by the flower bed, and the green knights and the green teens escape to the Feywild, baby! Woo!
Getting wild in the Feywild.
Your dad's going to be all right.
Spring break in the Feywild.
The scry spell breaks just in time for you to see explosions erupting from the church district. And Old Cobb looks at you guys and he goes,
well, should we get the hell out of here or what?
Amen, Old Cobb.
Yeah. You're talking to the right Captain Cobb.
Yeah, hard one.
Hard one.
Spin the wheel again.
Punch it.
Take the wheel, brother.
Jesus, take the wheel.
No, you take it.
Okay.
Hard One takes the wheel as you guys fly off. I would say into the night, but it is daytime. You fly off into the day. And that's where we'll end our session.
Oh, y'all, we are going to take a nap.
Oh, Malor, I hope we earned a night's sleep.
Come on.
I wanted to make that ritual moment like pretty hard, like a DC 30. I was very worried that you guys were going to roll very poorly and not make it.
Oh, man.
But, it had to be hard, but you guys did it.
Thank fucking God.
It had to be hard.
Thank Warden, Melora.
Beverly rolled a freaking 19.
19.
Oh, yeah. That was a game changer.
Yeah, you basically had to roll like a 15 or higher.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So many things happened.
Yeah.
An epic, big old day. Sesh.
And it will all be discussed on the short rest.
Yeah, guys.
You tease.
In addition to a million other things coming up, listen to our after show at patreon.com/nadpod, where we'll talk about this episode. And other plugs. Guys, buy me and Emily's book. It's called Hey You Up, How to Turn Your Booty Call into Your Emergency Contact. It's available on Amazon and Audible if you want to listen to your books.
If you're listening to this on Thursday, the next day on Friday, you can catch an episode of Big City Green.
Big City Greens.
Let's call it Green City Nights.
Big City Green Knights.
Big City Green Knights.
It's going to be there. It's an episode I did. It's got a motocross rally in it.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Woo.
Yeah.
Guys, wake up. Buy your tickets to our live show in Seattle.
Hell yeah.
Watch some That's Big City right. Greens. Have yourself a nice little Friday.
Yeah.
Honestly, if you're in the situation that I'm in, I mean, have a fucking drink and look out the window for a little bit. That's what I feel like I need to do.
Yeah, I just need to stare pensively into the moon. Uh-huh.
I need to like put Sufjan Stevens on and just like quietly be in the passenger seat of a moving car.
We have acquired so many fucking dads on this journey. I'm worried about all of them.
No.
It's true.
Oh, boy.
Man, Moonshine, you thought for a second that Old Cop was sacrificing himself for you.
I was so fucking worried.
He was just trying to get you out of the way of that errant swing.
Thank God he prepped that reaction.
Yeah.
I mean, you couldn't have taken an Ulfgar 5 attacks. Although, if he took you out, he would have had to, like, sustain. If he knocked you down, he would have had to, like, roll to, like, try to contain his bloodlust.
I mean, I had to try it.
Yeah, you did.
It was beautiful.
If I had wavered and not shown him love, it would have ruined everything.
I think standing in the face of certain death, you didn't sacrifice or compromise who you are.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful thing.
Hell yeah, guys.
Well, you know, life and death, they're two sides of the same coin.
All right, guys.
Hard One fell in love with you at that moment.
All right, guys, catch us on the short rest. Follow us on Twitter at chmurf is me, at eaxford is Emily, at Jake Hurwitz is Jake, at Caldy is Caldwell. And if you want to tweet about the show, tweet about it using hashtag NADPOD. That's NADDPOD.
We are youth of the nation.
It's the end of the show, guys. We got to shout out our Council of Elders.
Benevolent they be.
Oh, thank you so much. It is by your grace.
Let us weave tales of their glory. Caldwell, why don't you kick us off?
I would love to. First up, we have Matthew M., bestower of the amulet. Matthew M. Simeonized amulet. They are also the Bullywog Prince. Their teeth are so bright and shiny that they work just like a bug zapper.
Whoa.
Just fly in there. Yep, that's gotta, free food,
gotta,
baby.
Gotta floss them chompers.
Oh, I mean, yeah. In general, at the Crick, we try to keep the bugs alive, but sure.
Next up, we got Joe N., the lover of Lucy. His wedding rings were forged in the heart of two twin dwarf stars.
Whoa.
And those twin dwarf stars were also married.
Good for them.
Yeah.
That's incest.
Next up, we got...
incest?
It's different for stars.
Twins?
Next up, we got Brad D., the only Pebble Pot that isn't Craven. He is every other Pebble Pot's emergency contact.
He'll come through.
He will come through.
The phone tree is just... He is every other person on the phone tree.
Yeah. Following, we got J. Loma 72, a.k.a. Steelbreaker, the Wizard of the Wink, Hard One's True Spot, designer of the broken blade armor trend currently sweeping the nation.
Wow.
Broken blade armor. That sounds like some Under Armour. Some Under Armour shit.
They take a bunch of blades and they mush them down into like a really thin, stretchy shirt.
Beautiful.
It's cool.
Ooh, yeah.
Following that, we've got Andrew A., a.k.a. Feldspar Liegarden, the half-elf who beat Mishka at arm wrestling and taught old Cobb to shoot, currently on a quest to find the lost lore lords of legend, so we can teach Papa how to read.
Oh, thank you.
That's Papa thanking you as he eats a book.
Thank you so much, Andrew. Afterwards, we got Taylor Papa the Sixth, a legendary bard to whom no item isn't an instrument. Once played a pitch-perfect Mozart on a sleeping man's stomach.
He didn't even wake up.
Didn't wake up, no. Got further into sleep, almost went into a coma. Dylan B., a swordsman who uses 12 blades, one for each of the months of the year. The blades get advantage if used during the month of the opponent's birthday.
Okay.
That's sort of a guess and
that
check situation.
Is yeah. Cool.
I was writing that one, I was like, this is actually kind of a cool mechanic.
Sorry, when is this Bullywug's birthday?
Imagine, Murph, if
gonna,
we did that to you.
Gonna start asking that every time. Simon W., the bootleg of Hard One, Soft Loss. He drinks half pints of beer and carries around a large cucumber that he pretends to play like a flute.
Wow.
I guess a large cucumber is the opposite of a woodblock.
And a flute's also the opposite of a block.
Sure.
Yeah, it's one-to-one for sure. Danny P., Bohemia's resident artist, painted Hard One's senior portrait at the Dwarfenage. It was a stick figure, but the sticks were thick.
Ooh,
hell yeah.
So
that's
thick.
All I need.
Thick Tom, sticks.
Thick sticks.
My walking sticks be walking thick.
Tom P., father of the realm, serenader of sleeping babies. His dad jokes are more powerful than Tasha's hideous laughter.
Oh, that's a real DM dad joke right there.
Thank you.
That's good.
Spencer Caskbrew, patron elder of libations, ale maker to gods and heroes of Bohemia alike, made a Limerita so good it made Pelor weep with joy.
And Pelora drinks a lot of Limeritas.
Yeah, that's flavor, baby.
All right, I'll take it from here. Pedro E., Bard of the Mountains, who can turn a raging storm into a mere drizzle or a humid day into just a mildly uncomfortable one with his trusty woodblock.
Ugh.
Ooh.
Swampy.
Griffin S.D., a.k.a. The Stranger, the silver dragonborn Eldritch Knight and owner of the Badger's Pite Inn and Tavern. Hard One once triple-fisted three beers there.
What?
It doesn't even make sense, but people still talk about it at the tavern.
Love it. Cannot wait till we go to the Badger's Pite Inn.
Love to see that finger coordination. That's amazing.
Danielle, the Dastardly Dame, goldsmith of the realm, like King Midas, except she can turn off her powers whenever she wants, so she doesn't accidentally turn a friend into some gold, but she can do that if she chooses.
Love it.
Mm.
Hugh C., a.k.a. Haldor Frostback, MVP of the Giant Wars, crewed on the SS Stormborn and fought alongside Elias in Red, a barbarian warrior from the frigid north. After a raid gone wrong saw him betrayed by his fellow northerners, Haldor vowed never to return to the north. Elias gave him the name Frostback since he turned his back on his cold home forever. They also call him Haldy, because that's kind of cute.
Aw, nice.
Haldy.
Haldy.
Hey, Haldy. Hi, Haldy.
Manny the Mundane, accidental deity who got in the way of the Lich's spell to reach divinity. Paladins of the Mundane can be found all over Bohemia, doing nothing and just kind of hanging out. Kim H., Norwegian barbarian Viking, super ripped, covered in bronze, and wearing a thong. Kim won Mr. Universe and did it clean. minus copious amounts of arcane.
You sure. Gotta.
You know, you yeah. gotta do it some
gotta.
Way.
You gotta.
Razzle dazzle.
If everyone's doing the arcane, then is it really cheating?
Put on a show.
Daniel Yu, a.k.a. Multifor, owner of a sweet sentient boat that sounds like Gilbert Gottfried, this six-speed boat can pull not one, not two, but three water skiers at the same time, provided they are skilled enough not to run into each other.
We're going to the Olympics!
Jordan DJ, a legendary DJ of the realm, was booked 2 years in advance to DJ Bev Sweet 16, but now that Galateron is screwed, it's looking like the Tollgolds are going to lose their deposit.
Oh, no!
Oh,
oh boy.
When you first read that, I thought you meant that he played Bev Sweet 16 2 years in a row. Bev was just so privileged he had two. I don't want to be 17, mother.
They call it a smexy 17.
Then we've got Jeffrey S., Lord of the Fjord and Keeper of the Keep. Bev was actually going to have his Sweet 16 at this keep, and Jeffrey S. has just given me word that he is going to give the Tollgolds back their deposit.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
Whoa.
That's very generous.
Jeffrey S.
I'm going to write you a good Yelp review.
And we've got Jim Jam Flim Flam, the one-man band, playing covers of Duran Duran, Cran's favorite band, heck, favorite man in Bahumia Land.
Nice.
Wow, now that was a trip for the years.
Xavier C. once ate an Uku berry for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and only barfed by choice because Uku looked really sad that his prank didn't work.
You gotta do it. I mean, the sad face that Uku makes, it just breaks your heart.
Hallrock McBash, my dear friend in real life, wed to Casey, the most patient lady in all the realm, who does not kill him outright for donating to our Patreon, even though he officiated my wedding, and it would be well within his rights to just ask me for a shirt or a shout out for free. So shout out to the entire McBash family.
They are a healthy clan.
Yeah, dude. Sounds okay. Like a good guy. Mom up. You guys ready? Cutter W remains undefeated down by the crick at Leaf Dagger Stump. Last week, he legit won 100 brown leaves playing against Jonah.
Oh, brown no. leaves! Yeah,
I got a brown leaf thing in mind.
John S., a.k.a. Schubert the Mushroom. And you know, after we left Cragwater, Schubert killed every goat man.
Oh, we taught him well.
Learn yeah, noble. We learn did that leave that great sword with him.
James B. drank beers with Cord, and my dad holds 4 beers at a time.
How?
Oh, with his feet.
Honestly. that's how you get the name Surefoot.
Yeah.
Henry A. Actually, this dude once pantsed the Boy King in elementary school.
Yeah, that's actually Henry. Brave. Yeah. The Boy King is connected.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
A brave person to bully.
Elena C. fought alongside Mishka and Moonstone against the evil dragon.
Wow.
Wow,
there was
Elena?
A dragon there, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Of course
yeah.
there was a dragon in Moonstone. Good. That was like the whole point of Moonstone.
Speaking of evil dragons, Andrew M. took my ex to prom.
Oh, Andrew M., excuse
Iron
you.
Iron D prom. Beard Man Dan. His beard is a tiny bit longer than Hard One's. That's not an easy thing for me to admit.
Oh, he goodness. Combs it out.
Is it as thick?
It's not as thick.
Mm. Okay.
It's a little stringier.
Yeah.
Can't dance. Give him the full win.
No, I'm sorry. Give me more cash. Scott D. I don't want to say he has a hog as thick as the kobold wizard, but he does.
He
does. He does.
That's a thick hog.
Aaron C. Mr. AC. His AC is a billion. He's never been hit in his entire life.
Oh, dang.
Wow. Mm.
Hermes W. Just simply known as the Bat King.
He's the king.
Scree!
King of all bats.
The king of the bats. The T. Bat. Alex. This guy rides on a sleigh pulled by Slad Tadpoles.
Whoa. Oh, gross.
Slad Tadpoles, the Nad Tadpole.
Harley S. is a minecart drifter of himself. The Tokyo Drill, they call him.
Whoa.
I love it.
Parker E. This guy used Galad's scrying sword to spy on Galad and found out he was often pee-shy, even alone in the bathroom.
Devastating.
I think he felt the scry, honestly.
Devastating.
Probably it.
Okay, we've got RJW, who's the richest person in the crick. Previously known as the richest person in Galateron, now richest person in the crick. He has all them good brown leaves.
All Ooh. Them good brown leaves.
Adam R. is a renowned kobold personal trainer whose popular diet plan, Nothing But Halflings, has helped a lot of struggling kobolds get swole bold.
Swole bold. I like swole bold.
Brent B was the day of coordinator for Theala's return. I mean, there's a lot to orchestrate. There was the sky became dark, and then it became light, and they threatened the knights.
Picture this: instant darkness. Okay. Angels from here, angels from here. Theala, booming voice.
How are we booming voice this? In everyone's head.
Babe,
in everyone's head.
Babe, will you pay attention? This is important. You can never get her to listen.
Cassandra MHP is the legendary archer who Egwene has a poster of on her wall.
Wow. Whoa, we didn't think she respected anybody.
Egwene took down a lot of posters throughout the years as she got older, but she kept that one up.
Matt C is obviously Matty Big Crit's Matthias of House Crit. Saved Hardwon. Saved a
saved Cobb.
Saved
Upper Galeron.
Saved Galeron.
Saved the show.
B-C.
We got Ricky. Ricky, once again. Oh, Ricky, you're so fine. You're so fine. You got a +9 to charisma.
Hey, Ricky.
You know, we can't fix that one. That one's just real good.
That one's just good. You know, why would you try to top it? Andrew R. forged the trident that then helped plunge it into the depths of the Moonstone Bay. Also, while down there, collected some tasty bottom feeders for a bottom feeder gumbo.
Ooh, like a little deep elf. Gumbo.
Yeah. And then we've got the cannibalistic Cthulhu, one of Bohemia's most vocal advocates of the vegan lifestyle.
Oh my god. Wow, you wouldn't think that with that
you
name.
You pick up a nickname when you're young, but then you change, but you can't shake the nickname, you know? And then we've got Old Cobb, not to be confused with Old Cobb. Old Cobb is a wise, kindly whittler of super poisonous bullets. And then we've got Michael M., who is the head mixologist at the Blue Mana Inn. They're always come up with fresh cocktails featuring local Esri delicacies. There's even one with arcane in it.
I'm listening.
Hard One's new favorite drink. All right, I think that's all for this week. Thank you so much to our Council of Elders. We bend the knee to you. We'll catch you guys over at the Patreon for the short rest, and then we'll see you guys next week for the episode.
Farewell.
Later.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.